In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that we have nothing but glory that awaits us. We thank you we have nothing but blessings that await us. We thank you, Father, that you have set before us joy and peace, that in each and every day that you have promised us in Christ to have to bear fruit, to be fruitful, and to experience the bounty of being your children, even though we are in this present dark and evil world. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's leading and the Holy Spirit's speaking to our hearts and to our souls, that we might know of your love, might know of your faithfulness, and that we might understand with an ever-growing and deeper understanding that our lives in this world have a holy, divine, eternal purpose, even in this dark and troubled world. Father, we ask your blessing on this time, even as you've intended it to be. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned before, that down at the manor here before church, we sang this song, Sweet By and By, even as we sang it here. And you can turn there if you want. You don't need to, but both the second and third verses, the word blessed or blessing is used. And the second verse says, we shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. There is a song in our hearts. There is a song that we are entitled to sing when we are among the blessed of God. It's a song, even as we read in Revelation 5, there is a new song that was sung by the 24 elders and the four living creatures and the those around the throne. There was a new song that they sang, and we won't read it in Revelation 5. But a new, like a psalm or a song or a saying, that those privileged ones are able to sing that others are not able to sing. And as Christians, there is a song, there's the songs of the blessed, that we are entitled, that we are enabled, that we have the right to sing, that we have the knowledge in the awareness to sing that other people in the world cannot sing. And not every Christian sings those songs while in this world. The songs of the blessed, the motivation behind the singing is that we are blessed. Now every Christian, every child of God will sing the songs of the blessings that they received in heaven. Don't misunderstand me. But there's different songs, in a sense, for the blessings that we experience. Some in this lifetime do not recognize the blessings of God. Children of God do not recognize the blessings of God, and their life is not filled and is not spent in singing songs of thanksgiving for the blessings that they have received. But onward in this, on this same second verse, it says, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessings of rest. So again, blessings. And the first verse, second verse, third verse. And the third verse, the last phrase, for the glorious gift of his love and the blessings that hallow our days. The blessings of God that make our days in this world holy. It's a holy blessing. It's a blessing that is received and understood only by the children of God, only by those who have believed and received Christ as their Savior, who have entered into that walk with God and that life with God, and to experience the blessings that make our days not just a blessed day, but a holy day. In this world, there's lots of focus on certain days. This is the day we celebrate this. This is the day we celebrate that. You probably know, but I've always been one that, you know, every day we celebrate the birth of Christ. Every day we celebrate the death or the resurrection of Christ. We celebrate the atoning work of Christ. Every day is a day of blessing, and every day is a holy day. There is no more important day, as some would say, on the Christian calendar than today. Because it is today that you and I can experience and know and rejoice in the blessings. The blessings of God in our lives. And by that we understand that this day is holy. First and above all, this day is holy. Because of God's presence with us, God's presence in us, and God's working in our lives. The work that God is doing in our lives, the blessings that we receive in this life, if we turn to Ephesians real quick, a well-known verse, but Ephesians where Paul is praying for the Ephesians, and in chapter 3, where he's praying for them, the Ephesians, to grow up and to know the love of God in Christ and be strengthened with might in his spirit, this passage from verses 13 to 21. But I just want to focus on this 20th verse, where Paul closes and says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us," right now, and resides with us right now, today. Even the power of the resurrection, as back in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, in 18, Paul's praying for them and says that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened and to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. The resurrection power is available and at work in our lives, bringing us exceedingly great and precious promises and blessings that superabound, they're exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. This time of year, people make New Year's resolutions, which is maybe a cute thing to do, but they really often don't mean anything. But it's kind of what you'll think of, that you know, wishing for and hoping for better things in the year to come. No matter what we could possibly think, no matter how good we possibly think our lives could be in the year to come, I mean, if we went in the greatest extents of our imaginations, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could even think of. We do not have the capability to understand the depth of the blessings of God that he has for us, that he has planned for us, that he has intended for us. I'm going to backtrack here a little bit. I was going to start with this, but it just the Lord kind of changed the directions there. But turn back to Luke chapter 11 and just touch slightly on the last two Sundays, when we talked about the birth of Christ. We talked about the blessings of God on Elizabeth and on Mary, and on that whole scene with the birth of John and Jesus. But here in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God, talking about just doing his teaching. And there was, in verse 27 and 28, we'll read that. But one person, this woman in the group, was so blessed by his teaching. Think about this. She was so blessed by what he was saying and what he was revealing. And she was so struck by the wonder of what he had to say that she proclaimed in verse 27, "And it came to pass as he spake these sayings, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice." Remember, Mary lifted up her voice when she exalted the name of what was taking place in her life. And Elizabeth lifted up her voice when she heard Mary's voice. "But this woman lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps that thou hast sucked." That sounds like a very holy, a very real, true, great blessing that she was proclaiming. And though Jesus said that Mary said prophetically that the people consider her to be blessed and call her most blessed among women, though it is true, Jesus was already looking forward and not backwards. I think this 27th verse to me, every time I come across it, is always seems to me a bit of a rebuke to, well, those certain denominations that exalt Mary as someone that is involved in our salvation, involved in our blessings, and involved in our daily lives and intercedes for us and all those sorts of things, that Jesus kind of shoots that down. God is always looking forward. He's always looking forward. So she declared this, blessed is Mary, basically what she's saying. Blessed is her that brought forth such a wonderful teacher, a wonderful man. It says, but he said, that is Jesus said, yea, rather. He said, instead of that, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Rather, so you know, we have a church or churches today that are still exalting the past, exalting the person of Mary and calling her blessed and lifting up that blessing to a much higher level than what most of us should even think that we might expect to have. He said, well, he corrects it, but rather than that, though it be true, rather than that, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So it's not the past work of Mary that is the greater blessing. It is the future and ongoing work of the Holy Spirit who, through ministering the word of God, who hear the word of God and keep it, and we are more blessed than Mary. She was blessed for obeying and for receiving and embracing the word of God. We are blessed, and more correctly so, that hear the word of God and keep it. We hold it for ourselves and secure it in our hearts and lives. We are blessed. And that's really what the message today is almost entirely about, is to remember how blessed we are. And it's God's intent to bless us every day. And if I were to have a testimony to take time with this morning, which I won't, other than to mention that the Lord has just made it very clear to me over the past year or more. And I could go back, and not it's really been true every year, but just a different level in a different manner. But for the past, 4, 5, 6 years, how absolutely blessed I am. And especially this last year, that every day is a blessing. No matter what takes place, no matter what happens, somehow in every ugly situation, there is a blessing hidden there. In every difficult time, the Lord provides a deliverance and a blessing and an opportunity. And I've told people, you know, I work with and others so many times that, you know, I am just absolutely blessed every day in the Lord. And that with that blessing brings an energy and a joy. It, you know, doesn't always manifest itself outwardly, possibly, but that I tell him I can go to bed every night knowing that I've done everything that the Lord would have me to do, and that if I never had another day in this world, I could not expect to have more or greater blessings than I've had each day. I feel absolutely, and not just feel, but technically, I am more blessed each and every day, regardless of the circumstances. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. More blessed than Mary. I've always, again, thought of this 27th verse as a bit of rebuke to those who would exalt Mary over you and me. She just did what the Lord asked her to do. And the same blessing is on those who do the same thing. In the Gospel of John chapter 20, people sometimes ask you, if you could go into the past or the future, you know, where would you like to go? What would you like to see? What events in history or what future would you like to see? And oftentimes I think, you know, what it'd be like to be around with the disciples and the Apostle Paul. I really don't spend much time thinking about it because it's right now I can spend a lot of time with the disciples and the Apostle Paul in the Word of God. And it's sufficient. But here in John chapter 20, and primarily verse, let's start at verse 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Thomas had not been there before. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. He appeared in the room. They didn't hear the door open, the hinges squeak, or anything like that, the door shut. He was simply there, demonstrating his spiritual nature, and said, "Peace unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless or unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, there's no record that Tom actually did that, that Thomas actually did that. Then Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord, my Master, and my God. Through the resurrection of Christ, Thomas recognized and realized in the depth of his being and confessed that Jesus is Lord and God. And he was standing there in the very presence of his God, physically, in a supernatural sense. And Jesus said, "You know, stick your hand into my side. Feel the inside of my ribs. Feel the inside of my lung cavity if you want to. This is where the spear went in that drained out the water and the blood to prove my death." And Thomas said unto him, or Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." or you might say more blessed, are those of us who come to believe and understand through the teaching, the instruction, the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have a greater blessing than if we were there able to stick our hands in Jesus' side where the spear went in. Or the holes in his hands. Put our fingers in his hole, in the hole where the nails were. That would be a wonderful thing to actually touch those wounds that Jesus endured, but not as wonderful as believing in Christ, believing in Jesus, and receiving the blessings of the resurrected Christ without seeing him. We are more blessed than those that saw and that touched, though they were greatly blessed. God has not left us without blessings or opportunities for blessings. He has given us even more enriched lives through believing and hearing the Word of God and keeping the Word of God, walking by faith, embracing these things by faith. There are those special blessings that belong to those who believe and whose lives are transformed and changed by the Word of God, by the witness of the Spirit within. I listened in part to a couple of conversations and interviews by people that don't believe in Christ and those that do, and those sorts of things, and trying to prove the resurrection of Christ, the existence of Christ, and all those sorts of things. And there's interesting things in there. But one thing that the world cannot understand, and you probably have too, been mocked by different ones when you say that, well, God told me, or the Lord revealed to me. You say, you're just making stuff up. I don't hear God's voice. Did you actually hear his voice in your ears? My ears don't need to hear. I actually had a discussion with one person, and they were saying that talking about the human brain, and that we can, the use and the need of the brain to know these things in heaven. I said, the brain is a physical organ that is not needed in heaven any more than the liver is needed in heaven. We do not know God and make up things about God or understand the things of God with our brains. We have something else inside of us through which we experience the things of God and learn the things of God and know the things of God, and that is in the Spirit. Because we are new creations, we are spiritual creations, we are the children of God just like God. We are not reliant upon a physical organ in this human body. That is, 80% fat. We don't need that in heaven. We don't need that now on earth in the realm when it comes to the things of the Spirit. Matter of fact, using our brains rather than our spiritual knowledge in situations will most likely lead us astray or keep us back from the blessings of God. Our natural thoughts... Psalm 3, a very well-known couple verses. I hope I got this right. I believe Proverbs 3, excuse me. I'm getting there. Proverbs 3. Verse 1, my son, forget not my law or my commandments, my directives, but let thine heart keep my commandments. The brain isn't involved, and the heart is speaking of that innermost being. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That is the sayings, the commandments of God. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Not on a pad of paper, not on a plaque on the wall, not on a necklace, but write them upon a table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, the God who stands before us, the God who came into this world to redeem us, to fulfill his will and his purpose in the universe. This is not just a religion. This is the will of God in the universe. In all thy ways, acknowledge his presence, acknowledge his power, acknowledge his person, acknowledge his interest and his calling in your life. Acknowledge that, receive it, perceive it, and incorporate it into your own decisions and your own days and your own actions. Acknowledge the fact that Christ is here with us. Wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst of them. Jesus is here right now. Acknowledge that. Acknowledge that. Dare to accept it and to believe it and act upon it. Blessed are those that hear my word and keep it. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it goes on. But the main thing there is verse 5. God wants to bless us, and he's right here to do it. God wants to bless us, and the Holy Spirit is with us to instruct us, to inform us, to encourage us, and help us to understand. There is no need for us to continue in any way, shape, or form in a state of unbelief or doubt or anxiety or fear. I was caught off guard a little bit the other day when I talked to a person who still was expressing fear regarding getting COVID. And I guess in my world, I didn't know anybody was still really worried about that or thinking about it. Really caught me off guard. It's like, you're still thinking about that? They're so bound up in this anxiety and fear over something that has really come and gone in the sense of the intensity it came with the first time. Yes, people still get COVID and die. People still get the flu and die. People still stick drugs up their nose and other things in their bodies and they die. People get old and they die. The anxiety and the fear that come along with not trusting God for our very lives, even as he has secured by his promises, secured our lives and preserved us, our eternal life and these promises for us in heaven, deprives us of the lives that God has called us to live in this world. Fear is a robber. Anxiety is a robber. The darkness of this world is a robber. And it's, they're lies, and it's simply not true. Simply not true. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Just a quick verse here. Luke 10, and just one verse. I'll focus in verse 23. as Jesus was talking to the disciples and proclaiming, starting with verse 17. In 17, it's, you know, the 70 disciples, the 70 that were followers of him, returned again after they had gone out, and Jesus had given them the power to cast out devils, to raise the dead, to heal the sick. They were exercising the power of God, and they came back with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us, through thy name." And so Jesus spoke of the defeat of Satan, and then he prayed in verse 21. And in verse 23, he turned unto his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see." I got to thinking about that verse. Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see. Well, the only eyes that could see the things that they saw were them, because they're the ones that saw them. But I think there's a much larger meaning. Blessed are the eyes which see the things and acknowledge the things and embrace the things that you saw and experienced. Those that believe your witness and this witness and believe this account. Did this happen or did this not happen? That's the kind of questions the Spirit challenges with us with every day. Was Jesus raised from dead or was he not? Is death defeated in Christ or was it not? Has God intended from before the foundation of the world that every man might be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth or not? Our lives in this world are not about this world. Our lives in this world are about the work that God is doing in our lives for the world to come. And when we believe that Jesus can give the disciples power to cast out devils and to heal the sick and to raise the dead, and those, when we see that and we recognize that and we acknowledge that in all of our ways, we are blessed. We are blessed in ways that we never dreamed that we could be blessed. And in ways that will stir our hearts to greater and more wonderful things in this life. Living a life as if we're walking 3 feet off the ground. God is blessing us. Blessed are they which believe and have not seen, but still know. We know because we believe, and the Holy Spirit makes it real to us. Let's turn to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. This universe, this place where we live, this little speck of sand, insignificant speck of sand in the vast, vast universe, is where God is. You know, it defies, it seems like the great battle between life and death and darkness and light would be fought out in some great cosmic battlefield. But it's happening here on earth, around us. We live on that battlefield. And we are victors and take victories on that battlefield. And it's here that Satan is cast down to earth. Not to Mars or Venus or someplace out in the ring of garbage that's going around Saturn. Right here. In Psalm 68, Jesus here talking about to Israel and speaking of Israel primarily, but including all, Verse 19, David writes, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Selah. And Selah means amen. It also means to think, pause. Some versions just put in the word pause. It's a place to stop and think. And that's what we need in our lives, is a place to stop and think. And a time to stop and think and consider what God has set before us. Blessed be the Lord who daily... The word loadeth means to... when Caleb bought this backpack with add-on zipper wings, and it looks like he could load it with 200 pounds of stuff. And what a burden it is. And I'd hate to have to carry that thing. I'd have enough trouble carrying myself in and out the doors. But it's a huge, but that's what this means. It means this, who loadeth, means to put so much on a person that it's this big pack or this big load. We see people carrying these, I think they're like 40, 50-pound bags of rice and those sorts of things on top of their heads balanced. They're walking down the road with those sorts of things. But God daily loads us, burdens us with benefits. And I say that's one thing in my job today, that I don't have to be, I'm not burdened by all sorts of benefits, like sick leave and vacation time and all those sorts of things. But God loads me with benefits. God loads me with benefits. But the words benefits to even, those three words, if we left those out, they're italicized, they're interpolated. Now, there's the word who there, so we'll leave that out as well. It says, blessed the Lord, daily loadeth us, the God of our salvation. Every day he loads us up with blessings. With blessings. With benefits. You'd think we would notice that. I think I would notice if I was wearing Caleb's backpack and it was stuffed full of everything I need to live off of for a month in the field or whatever. You would notice that. And that's what the Scripture, that's the Holy Spirit, that's what the Lord is asking us to do, is to recognize, acknowledge that God has weighted us down with blessings. Every day. Every day. The blessings that he has promised from before the foundation of the world, the blessings that he has promised us through Abraham. I was going to go there, but I won't take time to go there, but Paul talks about that. God has loaded us down with the blessings of being able to look into the past and comprehend the death and resurrection of Christ, to look into the present day and understand the working of God all around us in every way, and look into the future. Said, your wildest imagination, we cannot imagine the glory and the blessings of the kingdom of God and being in his presence, where we will dwell forever. But we can think about him, and we can seek the Spirit to help us understand. We can probe those things and contemplate those things, and we can believe those things. And in believing the word and keeping it, we will experience those blessings. Daily, to the point where it is, there's little else that we have need of or want other than our daily bread and a warm bed. There's little that we are wanting than the blessings of God, and desiring than the blessings that God has given us in Christ, our Lord and Savior. All this, when God set the Son of Man into the womb of Mary with but one purpose. As John stated, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world and sets free all who believe in him." As you come and take communion this morning, give God thanks for the blessings of rest, of peace, of joy that he has given us in such abundance and does every day. And be reminded that this is the main message that God has for us every new day, is to walk with him in the blessings that he has for us. The good things that he has for us in Christ. May God bless you as you come. Amen.